This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
One more real quick. Paul Wildcard 2, come on the line from Yuba City, California, and talk to us for just a minute, because that's about all we have.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. The way I look at this is that basically, as the president, we have a hybrid. We have somebody who grew up with Frank Marshall Davis, who's a communist, and also with the anti-colonial edge, which is directly linked back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is directly linked back to the Nazis. And what we have is somebody who's a national socialist. And you can see how he drives his agenda. Also, as the president, he has been linked directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, if you take a look at Benghazi, which is now turning out to be nothing more than Fast and Furious on steroids over in Europe, you know, you've got a president here who's got a clear agenda. His behavior patterns, all the things that have been going on with all the school shootings, all that stuff fits the same thing as what you saw in Hitler's Germany. And he's basically using the same tactics that Hitler used to take over Germany. It's being applied here in the United States.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call, Paul.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on. Please remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, State of the Future, NCS51. We've got two websites going on right now. And you might want to visit both of them, because both of them are going to be very important to the future of this nation. There's no doubt about it. So newcaliforniastate.com and NCS51. Well, we're covering the coronavirus hoax, as we have coined it here. Weeks ago, we recognized it right away. You know, and again, basic statistics and understandings about viruses and things like that really go a long way. Basic biology. So if you took biology in high school, you should be able to figure this one out. And if you've taken a little bit of advanced mathematics, I think, even algebra will help you out to understand some of the statistical flaws that have existed here. That it's just another, this is another climate change hoax is what it is, except it's on a massive scale. It's a national scale. So this is now the attempt to get rid of the president and actually extinguish and destroy the United States of America. This is, if they would go to such a globalist extent like they've done here, it's pretty obvious that they're trying to take out the greatest nation in the world, especially as we see with our economy. Anyway, to help us understand further is Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show with us. And we want to thank Scott for being with us, Red State Talk Radio Talk Monster Guru. And Scott, what say you about where you're at right now in understanding about this coronavirus and how the impact it's having on our economy?
No, I'm angry about it, Paul. Really, I'm just angry. And I was out having lunch with Leonora yesterday, and you know, my co-host. And we went out and had lunch, and they served me the food. And then I sat down at a table that was outside of their restaurant. It was their table. And I felt like a little sense of normalcy. But the same day, you know, somebody had directed her to keep her distance at the FedEx line, the Federal Express line. Yeah. And so all this pushing and pulling. You hear about, you know, Trudeau welcoming a flight from China, but, you know, arresting people in a park in Ottawa. You hear about the guy in Colorado who was playing soccer with his daughter and his wife, and in an open space of about 40 acres, and seven cops came and violated every rule in the book. And so there was that. So there's all this different, you know, pushing, pulling, and division. And this is what happened when Obama took office. Obama said, I'm going to take money out of your pocket, and I'm going to give it to the person who votes for me over here. And it's called spreading it around, like he said to Joe the Plumber. So basically what's happening is he started this division. And that's why we saw Ferguson, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, you know, the George Zimmer, Trayvon Martin. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. All these things were just sort of like the buildup to it. Plus, all the cover and protection he gave to the radical Islamists that hated us. It was basically gaslighting Americans, and it was a psyop war. I think Obama knew exactly what he was doing. This is a psyop war. And I'm calling this now the globalist pandemic, the globalist pandemic, not a global pandemic, but a globalist pandemic, where this is a fight and a war between the globalists and the nationalists. And one of the chief nationalists in the world was Boris Johnson. He's now, thankfully, coming out of, you know, this COVID thing, but I wonder if he didn't take a tainted test to make him sick. Because, you know, you could take a look here in America, and you can remember that there was that Liu Jing that was taking photographs around Mar-a-Lago just before this epidemic started going spike, you know, climbing, right?
Right.
So you got her, you got Harvard professor Lieber, you got his two biology students that were part of one of them was part of the Chinese army, taking vials of bacteria back to Wuhan. I mean, I believe that this was a staged attack between the globalist elites within China, working hand in glove with the globalist elites over the UN and the WHO. Keep in mind, the UN just hired China, just put China on the board of the human rights.
Yeah.
And then in addition, their health organization, the World Health Organization, is part of the UN. You got this Dr. Tedros, who doesn't even have a medical degree, who got it wrong from start to finish. Every step of the way, he got it wrong, and he plagated. He placated. He tried to say that China was transparent. He tried to say that China was a perfect model for what to do right. And he was lying to us all the way down the pike to try to blow this thing up, tank the world economy, because as Cloward and Pivens and Saul Alinsky once said, you got to tear it down if you want to build it up in the image that you see fit.
That's right. And that's exactly what they've been attempting to do. Now, we have another problem out here. You know, we've got, and you've done a brilliant job sort of laying this whole thing out with the COVID virus and this whole attempt to bring down the world economy. And so now we have what we feel to be is their fail-safe system. The dead switch, if you will, and that's the Oroville Dam. And, of course, we've been covering this. You know, we've been covering it now for 3 years. It seems like forever. And now that they said that they have completed the project of actually putting together the spillway, Kiewit, the major company that came out to rebuild it, spending $2-something billion, figuring out that after they spent $1 billion that the the spillway itself had failed and failed all their testing, and it was a wreck. But they tried to repair it and spent another $1 billion, $800 million actually, to try and correct it. Well, it finally reached, for the first time since they've done the correction and since the first time they've run the test on it, the water has now finally reached an elevation of 813 feet in the reservoir and has reached the spillway gates. And the spillway itself, because of water that's in the fractured rock that supports the spillway, water is leaking up through the spillway plates. It's leaking, leaking, leaking. I think that what they're going to do is pull the plug on this one. Remember, the people that have been responsible for this dam and the rebuild and everything else, you know, Gavin Newsom, Jerry Brown, Bruce Babbitt, I mean, those folks, hello, these are the people that have been wanting to tear dams down and really did nothing to mitigate or even prevent the dam disaster in the first place. They stole the money that was to be used for the dam repair and maintenance over the years. Jerry Brown used that money for other things to pay off his cronies and NGOs and nonprofits, which seems to be the, and also China. These are the things that the totalitarians have done to this dam, and we think this may be the coming of the next project. If the global terrorism thing does, you know, through coronavirus doesn't work, they're going to pull the plug on the dam, which would, of course, be an enormous disaster, killing two million people right up front and destroying one of the richest growing areas for rice in the world, causing a worldwide famine. So this could be the final straw that breaks the United States back. That's what I think they think.
Wow. Okay. You know, I haven't even heard the Oroville Dam twist in all this, but that dam has been a problem for a long time. And what worries me too is your house gets overridden by the water once that dam breaks, if that dam ever breaks.
That's right. 24 feet of estimated above my head where I sit right now.
Wow. So, you know, there's a lot of funny business going on with the numbers, and it's starting to come out very clearly. And Birx and Fauci are looking like they're just a pack of liars working with the IHME or whatever it's that reporting system is, where they're basically saying projections that are fear-mongering. And not only that, but you got the empty hospital videos. You have a complete distortion of the truth, whether it's CBS rerunning, not just running once, but running twice now, the fake Italian emergency room hospital room, yeah, or the fake nurse that has bipolar disorder and, you know, was basically a YouTube, you know, a social media blogger and doing that thing where she was saying that she had to quit because they were denying her masks. All this stuff is just BS. You got to wonder why they're doing it. And, you know, nothing for nothing, but my gut tells me Chris Cuomo's not telling the truth. I think he's faking it. And
you think?
Purposes. Yeah. And I just wouldn't, you know, CNN's faked so many things. They lie through their teeth all the time. That's the, you know, who are the anchors over there? There's Don Lemon and Fredo and a whole host of other bandits, Jim Acosta, you know. These people are not truthful. They hate Donald Trump, and it just is what it is. But Donald Trump has been really sharp at the podium. I think what he's been doing has been absolutely great. I mean, they threw out a little curveball with him about the Tennessee Highway Authority. And next thing you know, he's like, yeah, I know about that, but I didn't read that report. And the guy that's running that Tennessee Highway Authority is the highest paid politician in America at about $7 million. You know, and some guy that perpetuated that had been running the show over there for a long time. You wonder how people get away with this stuff, right? But if you watch Trump, he's sharp. And what he has done is he has allowed Fauci and Birx to walk themselves into the circle. And then he locked the circle. He locked the door to the ring. And he basically said, you're on your own. And I don't think he ever wanted this to happen. Of course, he didn't. He didn't plan this. But I think he, in his gut and in his sense of smell, he basically smelled a rat early on. And he sensed, you know how like you could always sense there's a Democrat in the room when you feel this tug going against what you know to be true? And you just feel like, you know, there's some sort of like weird tension here where this person seems to constantly be wanting to pull this debate to, you know, to another place. And you could feel it. And I always thought that the numbers were exaggerated. And then when the people started walking the streets, and then we just learned a report just from the IDC that said that the total number of deaths in March are 15% lower than the 4 months prior. We're having a lower death rate right now than ever before.
Well, you know, one of the things that we brought out, Scott, in our this was my forte in biology, was genetics and virology and microbes and so on. It's one of my big fortes. But when the numbers started coming out, it was immediately wrong. We got that right. You know, I got that right away. It was pretty obvious what was going on here. And again, it's the same kind of numbering and data system gathering that they were using to hoax everybody with the with climate change. That's basically what it was. And of course, this has all now backfired on them, like I said it was going to at the very beginning of this whole routine. And now it's coming home. The chickens are coming home to roost, literally, on Fauci and Burke. But the whole cast of characters that are involved here, including Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation. I mean, this is just the first stretch of this. The World Health Organization, which, again, it's part of the United Nations, and what could possibly go wrong if it's part of the United Nations? Just ask Nancy Pelosi, right? Because she's the queen of the United Nations. This whole thing is so linked to Nancy Pelosi, to the San Francisco treats. Remember, it was the United Nations that was created. It was birthed in San Francisco back in 1947. A lot of people forget about that. It's the home of the United Nations, San Francisco. So it's a little wonder why they have done what they've done based upon the fact that there's so much history there of United Nations. It's the West Coast. It's the United States Center, really. It's not New York. It's where the real rubber meets the road is in San Francisco. And look at the cast of characters. Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein in her communist ways. And it's not a surprise that the communist Chinese are so deeply embedded in San Francisco and now embedded out here in California. They run the state, basically.
Do you hear that Trump has ramped up our investigation on Chinese spies in America?
Yes.
That's going to spell big trouble, I think, for people like Feinstein and Pelosi, because there's going to be a lot of fingerprints on some of the investments and deals that they've been making. And once that comes out, it's going to be big trouble for them. Already, you know, it was interesting, too. Did you see the press conference yesterday?
I did.
So Burks flat out lied, and Trump also admitted that California equivocated to the at least 1 million voters being illegally voting in the 2016 election.
Right.
So, you know, I hear that the number is closer to 5 million.
Right.
But he just said a million just to, not to get into a debate. Well,
the million came from the lawsuit from our.
That's
good,
what California admitted to.
Right. Well, they admitted to that because that's what they cleaned up with the Election Integrity Project with Linda Payne and Ruth Weiss, who have been to the New California State Convention and have assisted New California. And the other part of it was Judicial Watch. They're the ones who created that lawsuit. It was that 1 million votes that Donald Trump was talking about, the referencing, but we know it out here as at least 5 million votes, at least.
And he said Judicial Watch. He was totally sharp, totally on this stuff. And so, you know, it drives that. Why is that important? Well, it's important for all obvious reasons, but it's also important because those people that claim, well, Hillary really won the race because she got the popular vote. No, she didn't. She did not. And that's why they want this early, this mail-in voting.
Right.
She tweeted out this morning his objections to that. And then Burks was caught in a flat-out lie because she said that the reason why the numbers of deaths and cases and stuff are going down is because of the behavioral changes. So because we've complied, conformed, and obeyed, we are actually having a better life. That's what she, in essence, said, right, Paul?
Yeah. And
what she did say is that the models that were grossly over the mark, you know, grossly out of touch, grossly high in fear-mongering, actually did consider the social distancing and behavioral changes that were required. When you take those off, Paul, the number is not 2.2 million deaths that they were predicting at one point. When you take out the behavioral changes from those models that she was using, the number is 40 million.
Right.
She was predicting that if we don't change our behavior, 40 million people will die. Well, tell that to the people in Sweden who didn't change their behavior. They didn't get a number. They didn't get a change in numbers either.
See what they have. This is one of the contentions that I've made about these folks, because people have said, you know, what about a revolution? You know, what about a rebellion, a civil war? You know, things like that. And again, when we're forming a new state, New California. And again, the last time this ever happened in our nation's history, where a state was formed from a pre-existing state, was during the Civil War of 1861, with West Virginia separating from Virginia, and actually Virginia separated from the Union, while West Virginia was still apart, and they wanted to separate from and be their own state. And they had a confliction. They had to go to the federal government for help. They didn't get any. They had to recreate another government of Virginia called the Restored Government of Virginia so they could appeal to it and follow the Constitution, which they did ultimately to break away. So considerations about what it would be like if, under the circumstances and looking at the trajectory of the totalitarian nature of our government, the oppressive government that we've had out here in California, we had to put into the calculus at least 5 years ago what it would be like if we failed at this and there was actually a civil war in the United States. We came up with a number of around 35 million people could possibly die in an outright civil war if these totalitarians wanted to go that way. And now, one of the things that the calculation took into consideration is, well, what would happen if they lacked the military capacity to carry out a protracted civil war? What would that look like? And some of our modeling was indicating that they would lack the capacity and that we could quickly take down their capacity to make that happen. Now, I say that because as I look at the modeling that's gone on for this whole thing with the COVID virus and how they've done that, they've got a great media campaign. They've got all the leaders in all these small countries like Ethiopia who've been bought off by the Chinese. And, of course, the Chinese have bought off all the opinion leaders. And they've gotten rich oligarchs in the United States that have gotten the opinion leaders of all, like Fauci and Birx and these people. They've harnessed that. But they have failed, I think, to harness a successful biological weapon on a large scale. And I think that that's been their failure here. They've not been able to harness a large-scale biological weapon. They've got a small scale. And the other part of it is that this particular biological weapon that they have is very easily defeated by a couple of things, like one, simply washing your hands, and also getting out in the sunlight. That really helps a lot. Those are things that really help to defeat this. And then what Trump did was brilliant because, you know, hey, common sense tells you, we're going to shut off anybody. We're going to forget those vectors coming in. We don't want viruses, so we're going to stop the people. No more flights from China. They don't want to get out of hand in Europe. No more flights from Europe. I think that's been very, very positive. My point is that once again, they have failed on the mission of being able to successfully get everybody sick at one time and get those large numbers, but they've gone on the media campaign and said, oh, we have these numbers. They've used the data to lie once again. And, of course, their modeling falls apart when you look at the carbon footprint business and climate change, and it's falling apart on this one. I guess the next question is, what's going to be their next attempt at this? And I think it's going to be the Oroville Dam.
Right. And how much time do we have?
You got plenty.
Okay.
You know, I'm controlling the lever on the commercials.
No, I get that. I just don't mean to, you know, I don't know your clock, so.
Well, go ahead. We're well into it.
A couple of things that floated through my mind there. One is, you know, we are at war. This is a civil war. This is a world war. This is a war of ideas. This is a war between globalists and nationalists. There's no doubt in my mind about this, and that this was premeditated. This virus is real. I'm not ever saying that the virus exists. And we do have to take the precautions we did. And I think that Steve Bannon was somewhat right when he said, we got to drop the hammer and get in and get out as quickly as possible on this for political purposes and for economic purposes.
Right.
Already the stock market today is booming a little bit, and it's coming back to almost 24,000. I think once we get back to business, we're going to be just fine. And I think Trump's right on that because he's got the benefit of the stimulus and the low prime rate from the Fed, which he is pretty much now in control of, which is great. Now, the other part is a lot of people are talking about martial law, and a lot of people, and I think you've seen, there have been a lot of trains with tanks going in all kinds of different directions on these trains. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're very well aware of what's going on. Yeah.
California, Florida, all over the place. So there's these tanks. And I believe one of the things I've never said on the radio before, and I'll say it here for the first time, and that is something that had been floating through my mind over the last week when Trump equivocated a little bit to Brett Crozier, the captain that allowed his sailors on the USS Theodore Roosevelt to go off into Vietnam and roam around like that's like they're not going to catch corona from in Vietnam if they're roaming around like that. And they get back on the boat and 120 sailors get sick. And he writes this letter. It goes public. He sends it to the media, San Francisco Chronicle being the number one. And you'd naturally, Motley was outraged by it, gave him a what for, pulled him off the ship, and then basically addressed his sailors, who then dropped the F-bomb and were getting they were being unhappy because they liked Crozier, the guy that lets them go off and play in Vietnam. But, you know, Motley said a few choice words, was very rough and tough. So he ended up resigning. And I think that one of the things that was happening was when Trump said, I'm going to be like a mediator here. I'm going to be a broker. And I believe that everybody's doing their best and blah, blah, blah. I think it's because he definitely cannot afford as a commander in chief to lose the support and love from his troops. Because if there is a martial law, it's going to be a fight over the army as to who loves who more. And already there's polls that indicate that some of his support from some of the troops is softening. Now, those polls could be inaccurate. I think that the bulk of the troops love Donald Trump. They love what he stands for and what he's done. He's such a great commander-in-chief, especially if you compare him to Obama. So there is this issue, though, where if you go into martial law and you need to protect yourself against the radical socialists that want to take over our country and work for Mother China, which we know that they're doing. They're carrying their water. They're placating to all their dreams. They're allowing these things to happen. And I saw this report. The reason why NBC carries the water for China is because you have companies like NBC Universal and Comcast that see the Chinese market, 1.5, 1.4 billion people, as a huge market. It's the exact same reason that the NBA also, you know, did what they did. The NBA placated to all the whims and dreams and needs that China demanded. And they didn't stand up for our American principles. And so that's why you have the media being owned. If NBC Universal or these amusement parks or all these different things want to have business in China, which they do, they're going to cow down. There's also the hydroxychloroquine war between vaccines, like between Bill Gates' vaccines. And Bill Gates' vaccines, he said a heavy investment into WHO and all these different global funds and all these different places, all these different pieces that support vaccines. You need only listen to Zeke Emanuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1.5 years we're going to wait until a vaccine, and everybody's going to get a little chip put in their arm. And I'll stand here. No one is sticking a needle in my arm that's a vaccine sponsored by Bill Gates.
No.
Never happened. I will bite the damn thing in half with my teeth. Okay. But here's the thing. The thing is that hydroxychloroquine, you can get 10 pills for about $1, $2. It's cheap. The vaccines are much more expensive. And so what I'm saying is there's a lot of money at stake here, where the cure to flatten this curve is hydroxychloroquine with zinc, chloroquine with zinc.
Right.
It's not a vaccine. That's number one. Number two, they don't want the curve to flatten so quickly. That's why you have these governors blocking the hydroxychloroquine. They're blocking it because they don't want this problem to go away too soon, because Trump will look like a hero. They'll call this super drug the Trump drug that saved the world.
That's right.
That's going to make it impossible for them to win an election. So they got to tank Trump's economy. They got to demand that Trump doesn't have any more rallies and that it's a health concern. They got to get that vote by mail in place. There are so many things down the list that actually support. They'll support their biggest money backers, like the Oracle of Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and all these other people that have gotten on board with the vaccines.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing, is that, first of all, for the general public, we're making a distinction between a vaccine and a medication. And hydroxychloroquine has been around for a long time. It's quinine, basically. And, of course, quinine pills and things like that were popular in the jungles in the 30s. You know, people who go to the jungles where they have mosquitoes, in which malaria was being, especially out of Panama, when the Panama Canal was built, that was a big problem. But quinine, and actually quinine water, I think Schweppes has quinine in it, is a simple medication for the coronavirus. And I know when I had this particular condition back in January and February, I was very, very sick. In fact, we've now figured out that most of California, because of our connections to up and down the state and everything, we've done kind of a survey now, that California was pretty much infected with a lot of people with a very serious viral condition in starting in late December through the beginning of February. We all have speculated, everybody I've talked to, it fits the exact same diagnosis as coronavirus. But I remember I had a craving for soda water, which I purchased them. It seemed to help me. And, of course, that's the connection between hydroxychloroquine, which is a medication. Now, what Bill Gates wants to do is provide more vaccines, which are given to you by an injection, and those change your immune system to fight off the effects of various viruses. You know, we used to get cowpox as an example, and that would build a lifelong immunity against smallpox, and that's what actually ended up wiping out the condition known as smallpox. Didn't take care of chickenpox or cowpox or monkeypox or any of that other stuff, which is a variety of zoster virus, but it, you can see what a vaccine would do versus a medication. When you have a condition, you take the medication. You don't take the vaccine. It's a little late when you have a condition. And again, vaccines only work with viruses. They don't work with bacterial infections. That's why when you give somebody hydroxychloroquine, you also give them azithromycin, which is the Z-Pak that they talk about, to clean up any type of bacterial infection that might be related to pneumonia. And Donald Trump, you know, the other day when I was listening to him talk about that, I was really impressed with his medical acumen as he presented it. You know, that stuff that I just talked about isn't easy for people to follow along with, but he had it right out there, right, exactly spot on. I was really impressed.
And there was a doctor giving an interview about this very drug, and he says, you know, there was not as much efficacy when you just took the hydroxychloroquine by itself, but when you took it with the zinc, the Z-Pak,
right,
it was gangbusters.
Yeah, zinc is another important part of anybody who's got a cold or influenza. Zinc really, as a mineral, really does help bolster your immune system, which it certainly has done in the case here. So combinations with zinc, he was recommending taking zinc as well, which is a good idea. I take zinc all the time myself personally. I've been taking it for years. Magnesium and things like that. Those are all good things to take. By the way, additives and supplements that they talk about. Wanted to kind of switch gears here and talk a little bit about what is going on out there in the East Coast in terms of this the virus itself, but also what's going on with the stock market and the economy in your areas, because we're seeing devastated economies, especially with the restaurants here in California.
Well, like I said, in Arlington, where, you know, Virginia, we're supposed to be closed down until June 1st. And, you know, you can't see the dentist. There's a lot of things you can't do. But one of the things you can do is every restaurant is offering a takeout delivery system. And you can go up to the restaurant and you can get, you know, your food and then take it. And you can eat outside with it. So, like yesterday, again, I felt halfway normal. But then it also made me think, it made me angry at the same time. Because I thought, wow, I just went to We the Pizza. I could have gone to another place for a burger or something else, but I went to We the Pizza, this company that makes pizza. And they had outside seating all along Crystal Drive in Arlington. And I was like, okay, there you are. And I just go there. I order. I walk in. I order. And I get to sit down at one of their tables and dine. And I thought, wow, I'm so grateful I get to do this. This is nice. This is like getting a little step back to normalcy. And then I thought, wow, I'm literally grateful because I got to go and get order lunch and sit down and eat it. That's the country we're living in right now, Paul. And that's what the Democrats are advocating. When you listen to Zeke Emanuel, you know, tell us that we need to be shutting down for a year and a half, which is the most cockamamie, ridiculous, you know, remedy for this problem. And of course, this is, and when we take a look at, here's the problem too, Paul, and I'm going to tell you something. I had this thought about yelling fire in the firehouse. And they say, okay, you have free speech, but you can't yell fire in a firehouse. Well, that goes both ways, because at some point, I believe that there's going to be a lot of class action lawsuits against the people that perpetuated this crime against America, because there's been a different solution to this problem. This problem was not significant enough to shut the economy down and do what we've done for the last, you know, 60 days. I believe this is a fraud on America, and that we have ample rights for a lawsuit. They've denied us of just about every one of our rights. They've denied us of our constitutional rights, and they did it under the guise of a lie. And that's the problem, is it's they yelled fire in the firehouse and people got injured. Just like if I yell fire in the firehouse and people get injured, I'm liable. Well, they yelled fire in the firehouse. They made it up, just like the guy who yells fire in the firehouse, right? I'm telling you, that is the case that can be made against these perpetrators of this crime.
And, you know, it goes back to the United Nations. They're liable. It's the World Health Organization. It's them.
And the world, yes, UN, and the World Health, UN is in charge of the World Health Organization. And then China, for paying off the World Health Organization. You know, we owe China about $1 trillion in debt. We should forgive that. And we should also independently take charge of our pharmaceuticals and totally deny them. And not only that, but I like this thing that they're bantering around about a 12-month travel ban from China.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that that's an appropriate response. You know, the globalists in the Chinese government, which, of course, a lot of people don't understand that the Chinese have a deep state just like we have a deep state. And just like Russia has a deep state, just like you have the Middle East, of course, which is a deep state operation against the United States anyway. And, you know, South America has a deep state that's constantly trying to destroy the United States. They're all working together. They're all teaming together to bring us down. And, of course, Donald Trump knows this. You know, Xi Jinping, he's a great communist if you're a communist, and he knows how to kill people just like all good communists do. Even he doesn't have control over his deep state. Remember, it was people don't remember, but it was that deep state that tried to overthrow him a couple of years ago. And it was Donald Trump who reached out to help him a couple of years ago. So Xi Jinping kind of owes Trump, but his deep state does not. And that's, you know, the deep state that controls everything in China from the military on up. which, by the way, is who California pays money to, is the Chinese military through the CalPERS retirement system, of course. And that's just one way which we pay the Chinese government. But my point is that Donald Trump has been dealing with this ever since he became president. He knew this when he came on board, that he was the chosen one to take on the deep state. And right now we're taking it on, and he's being successful. I look at this whole Fauci thing, I look at this Birx thing, I look at the World Health Organization thing as a process where he's done the traditional thing of Donald Trump, in that he gives people a lot of rope to hang themselves. And that's exactly what they've done here. China has hung itself. The United Nations has hung itself. Fauci and Birx, they've hung themselves. And, you know, he's going to pull the rope real soon. In the next week or two, he's going to pull the rope on all these people. And, Scott, everything you say about people being damaged, all you need to do is just go down to the courthouse and file a case against these people for everything, and break them. Break them.
And they'll have
the United Nations should be put out of business immediately.
They'll have discovery on their hands. And by the way, today is Holy Day, right? And Friday is upon us. There's only one day in history that will mimic the 1970-something license plate of Donald Trump's Cadillac, DJT. There's only one day in the history of the world that mimics that three initials, DJT. 4 is the letter D, 10 is the letter J, and 20 is the letter T. Good Friday, DJT Day. And this is when this whole world pandemic, this globalist pandemic, is collapsing. And Trump has been right about the numbers, about the forecasts, about getting back to work as sooner than later, and about hydroxychloroquine with the Z-Pak. He's been right and pragmatic with his common sense delivery. What's common sense? You know, these doctors have gotten it wrong, and I believe the end game on Fauci and Birx, if it isn't jail, it is going to be that they are no longer going to walk down through the ivory towers and the ivory halls and give the speeches and get the red carpet. They're going to go down in disgrace, and I believe they're going to have to resign as a result of this. But the question for me then is, who's the guy that hired these people?
Yeah.
It was Pence, and Pence was part of the PAPFAR thing too. And PEPFAR. And so Pence, you know, was in Congress, and he supported a lot of these globalist ideas. He was not a Trump supporter when Trump embraced him to be the VP. And you just kind of wonder why it is that this relationship was forged. But Pence is the one that called Flynn out for the lie that got Flynn fired. And Pence is the one that put this team together, this team that we knew, I think we all knew, to keep an eye on them. And now that we've kept an eye on them, we now know what a corrupt team of globalist elites they were.
Yep. And they definitely are. The whole cast of characters is. So that's why I say I think the legal process would probably be one of the best things to do is, you know, everybody and their mother get it. I mean, look at the class action suit capability here running through American courts.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be unprecedented, but who do you sue? Do you want to sue the country that's trying to get back on its feet, or do you want to sue these individuals? And I would like to say, you know, these people were responsible, Paul. These people were responsible for lives lost, suicides, for depression, for people losing their entire career. These people have caused more damage with their lack of wisdom and their lies and their skewed data models. And they caused more harm and damage against the world and our United States population. And I just say, it would be suitable and right to take Fauci and Birx and the people that caused this to happen, and the mainstream media to boot, to call them out to the carpet and ruin their lives, put them in jail, and make them liable for the financial loss that so many families across America have taken a hit. Right. There are some small restaurant owners that have 2 weeks to survive. They can't survive beyond that. They're going to go under. You know, normally a hurricane puts you out of business for 3 weeks. You know, so you could say, okay, FEMA, 3 weeks, whatever. Maybe a month and a half. But you still get some way to make a living. Here we're told to stay indoors, not be able to shake hands. You got people yelling at people to mind your distance. You got some people beating other people up because they didn't mind their distance. You know, you got all kinds of things that are just going haywire. And it's not because, it's not for any other reason, but this has become a political polarization. You know, this has been a very political third rail. I don't know anybody, Paul, that's ever touched the third rail of Trump. I remember Megyn Kelly was at the top of her game, untouchable. She had done the interviews with Bill Ayers and all kinds of things. She was a rock star. And then she pulls that stunt with President Trump, and her career went kaput. And I'm telling you, people that mess with Trump, whether it's Marco Rubio and the little hands or Ted Cruz and his two wives, it doesn't matter. Trump always finds a way, a solution that's so unique and just clobbers them. And in this case, I think he let Fauci, Pence, and Burks walk right into the Matador's circle. And he locked the key, and they're a deer in headlights right now. They have never had this kind of hatred toward them. They've always been beloved, respected, and, you know, all these grandiose gestures, and the red carpet and the speeches and the great hotels and the accommodations. They've always been accommodated because everybody was just buying their BS.
That's right.
Now they're facing the music, because if you go on social media, the most of the Americans are sick of these people now.
Yeah, they're tired. You know, they don't mind Donald Trump. You know, that's the thing. I don't. I think I still enjoy watching Donald Trump, and I know other people I've talked to do too. But they know they're being lied to. And again, when this whole thing started out, and I looked at those two, and then I could, you know, put the connection with the World Health Organization together, I said, "This is not going to end well for these folks." But Donald Trump sees the moment, and he can't have any rallies, but every day he has a rally with millions of people. You know, the heck with having the personal rallies out there and risking risking having coronavirus or something like that. Look at what he's got. Look what he's done. You know, it's amazing.
They're basically a duo of Woody Allen's walking into Mike Tyson's ring.
That's right.
They are.
They're a tag team that's going to try and hurt Trump.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Just not going to work.
Listen, Scott, we're going to run for time. I want to thank you for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. We'll be talking.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right, buddy. See you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
1-1-0.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's
800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio with your host, Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. A21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. Just got so many things going on here, huh? Of course, the Oroville Dam. Go to our website. You can see the pictures of the dam leaking like a sieve. After all the work they did, it's leaking like a sieve. It's leaking more now than ever before, actually, when they had the water at this level. Well, that's the problem, in my estimation. The water is just at about 820. In fact, let's just go to the website and see if we can pull that information up for you to figure out how much the water level is at the Oroville Dam. We're going to get back into this Oroville Dam water thing, you know. Everybody's thinking, oh, no, the Oroville Dam, it's back. It's never left. It's never left. So what we have right now in elevation, if they report it, 813.42 feet. So it's going to get above the level there of the spillway. And create some problems. That's what they want to do. It's pretty clear. And we're going to go through the evidence again so you understand that the globalists want to tear down and bring down this dam. That's been the goal of them all along. It only explains why Jerry Brown in 2016 hired Bruce Babbitt, the former Interior Secretary of Bill Clinton. And he's the guy who created this whole notion of tearing down dams all throughout the West and rewilding the West. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they've been trying to do, is rewild the West and get rid of people off the rural areas of the United States, California. Tearing down dams is a big way to do it. They've got this thing going on in the Klamath River right now, tearing down four dams by the same company that did the rebuild on the spillway that's leaking like a sieve. Kiewit. Shocking how these things all come together. It was Kiewit that built the dam that failed up in Idaho, wiping out millions of acres of productive farmland back in the 80s. Oh, we forgot about that, huh? Yeah. But the globalists have their eyes now on the Oroville Dam. It's pretty obvious. They're not going to work it with the COVID virus. Let's just bring it to the dam. Bring it down. That's the next crisis. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. NCS 51, State of the Future, we've got just tons of things coming out. We haven't stopped. We haven't broken stride. We're going to be the 51st state, and we're going to put an end to all this nonsense, so stay strong, America. We are exceptional America.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.